This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Inshallah, continuing with our series here in the month of Ramadan, Harmony, where we take a look at different family dynamics and relationships in the Quran. And continuing with our approach here of going chronologically to the best of our ability throughout history, we spoke about Adam alayhi salam, the story of Adam and Hawa. We talked about the sons of Adam alayhi salam. What we're going to talk about today is the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. To properly be able to understand and appreciate what we're going to talk about today, I need to start off by talking a little bit about the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam himself. The Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is of course a prophet and a messenger of Allah. And that suffices as a statement of his status, his stature, and his virtue, that he is a prophet and a messenger of God. But amongst the prophets and the messengers of Allah, we know from the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاصْبِرْ كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ, that there are certain prophets and messengers who occupy a very special status even amongst the prophets and messengers. This is something that we also know from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from authentic narrations, that there are certain prophets and messengers who have the position of leadership even amongst the fraternity of prophets and messengers. The peak and the pinnacle of all of them, at the head of all of them, is of course our messenger, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is Imamul Anbiya, the leader of all the prophets, Sayyidul Mursaleen, the leader of all the messengers, alayhi salatu wassalam. But along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a special class of prophets and messengers that, as I've said, they are of a special status. And amongst them is the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, that he was given a very unique code of law. And at the time that he was sent to humanity, there were no other prophets and messengers alive in the world. He was the sole prophet, the sole messenger from Allah to all of humanity, to the entire world at his time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فَلَبِثَ فِيهِمْ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ إِلَّا خَمْسِينَ عَامًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam such a special and unique position that he remained amongst his people for 950 years. And during that 950 years that he remained amongst his people, Allah speaks about how admirably, how relentlessly, how consistently, and with such remarkable steadfastness that it is nothing short of a miracle, and how he preached to his people. That inni da'awtu qawmi laylan wa nahara, day and night. Inni da'awtuhum, he says that I called them in private, I called them in public, I spoke to all of them together as a community. He was relentless in the pursuit of establishing the deen of Allah and preaching the message from Allah to his people. So he is truly remarkable. And Allah speaks about him repeatedly throughout the Quran, because he was someone that the Prophet ﷺ even referred to and alluded to as he is a role model for all the prophets and the messengers that came after him. To have such resilience and such steadfastness upon his message and upon his mission. So that is the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. Now, the lesson that we're going to talk about today is highlighted in Surah At-Tahrim, Surah number 66. In ayah number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That the most terrible example of disbelief that Allah gives to us in the Quran is إِمْرَأَةَ نُوح, is the wife of Noah. That the wife of Prophet Nuh alayhi salam is the worst example, the most terrible example of disbelief, of treachery, of disloyalty, of disbelief. Allah also talks about the wife of Lut alayhi salam here, which we will talk about later. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبَدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الصَّالِحَيْنِ. This particular construction in the Arabic language, I won't go too much into the details, into the weeds of it. But the nature of this construction in the Arabic language is really unique. And it's a little bit of a departure from how the Quran normally speaks, how Allah speaks in the Quran. That both of them, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot, the wife of Lut alayhi salam, but focusing on the wife of Nuh alayhi salam here, that Allah says that she was married to a very righteous servant of ours. It's very verbose, the statement. كَانَتَا تَحْتَ عَبَدَيْنِ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا صَالِحَيْنِ. Very interesting. And that the Quran is like, it's elaborating more than it usually does. To summarize, the Quran is elaborating more than it usually does. Why is it elaborating? Imam al-Razi, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the great exegetes, one of the great commentators of the Quran, he says that the reason why Allah is elaborating in this way, that is a departure from the normal style of the Quran, because Allah is trying to impress upon us that how righteous, how remarkable, how amazing was Noah. That Nuh was not an ordinary person. Allah is saying that if you gather together the most righteous servants of God into one room, Nuh alayhi salam would stand out from them. If you put the most pious people through human history together in one room, Nuh alayhi salam would stand out. That's how remarkable he was. He wasn't just a good person. He was the best person. And she was married to that best person. But what does Allah say? فَخَانَتَهُمَا. But she was treacherous. She was treacherous. فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. She was treacherous to God, and she was treacherous even to her own husband. And the result of that was, Allah says, فَلَمْ يُغْنِيَا عَنْهُمَا مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. And her relationship to Nuh alayhi salam did not help her in the least bit when it came to standing and answering in front of Allah. When the moment came for her to stand before God and to have to answer for what she did in this life, her relationship to one of the most remarkable human beings that ever lived meant nothing. It meant nothing, Allah says. Shay'an, nothing. وَقِيلَ أُدْخُلَا النَّارَ مَعَ الدَّاخِلِ. And then Allah says that what will be said to her on the day of judgment, on the day of resurrection, is enter into the fire of hell for all of eternity. You are doomed to hell for all of eternity. May Allah protect us all. So what's the moral of the story? The moral of the story here is that there are no guarantees. Family dynamics, we're talking about it on one end, that they're very important. They're a part of our deen, they're a part of our righteousness. They can actually be a huge part of our journey and our path to paradise and to the pleasure of Allah. But there's a flip side to this as well, that we can't just rest on those relationships and those associations that we have to people and just expect for that association to carry us to Jannah. There's no riding anybody's coattails to paradise. Oh, but I'm so-and-so's son. Oh, but I'm so-and-so's brother. Or so-and-so's husband. Or father. No. And we're going to talk about more stories of this nature throughout the Quran. But this is a very stark reminder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that on the Day of Judgment, these relationships are only meaningful if they are rooted within and predicate, and they are based on the joint connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I've spoken about in the previous sessions. These relationships are of value if that relationship is predicated upon our joint relationship with Allah, our shared interest in having a relationship with Allah. Then it matters. Then it's of significance. Otherwise, it's meaningless. Otherwise, what is its reality? In Surah number 80, Surah Abbas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what is the reality. يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ. Otherwise, the man will run from his own brother on the Day of Judgment. You'll see his brother, he'll be so concerned about saving his own soul because he did not focus on his relationship with Allah, and he'll be so afraid of the hellfire that day that when he sees his brother, he'll be afraid that his brother is going to also try to ask him for some kind of a favor, that he'll run, try to hide from his brother. You know when you're trying to avoid somebody, you're trying to dodge somebody? That's what he'll do to his own brother, his own flesh and blood. وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ. He'll run from his own mother and his own father. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ. From his own wife. وَبَنِيهِ. From his own children. His own children. The child that I would give my life for in this dunya. On the Day of Judgment, don't look at me. يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي السُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ. There will be no relationships on that day. وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. No one will care about anybody else. So relationships are important. But again, there's a basis, there's a premise to everything. Salah is very beautiful. Salah is a great act of worship if you have wudu. If you don't have wudu, then what you're doing is actually sinful. If I come and I deliberately pray without wudu, I'm committing a major sin. I'm actually making a mockery of the religion. That very noble act just became something that could doom me. That could be the source of my downfall. Everything has a premise and a basis. Sadaqah, charity, is a beautiful thing. It'll save you from the fire of hell if you did it sincerely for the sake of Allah. But if I did it to show off, to show everybody how generous I am, right? How impressive of a person I am, then that same charity will be the reason why I could be, may Allah protect us all, why I could be dragged on my face and thrown, flung into the fire of hell. May Allah forgive us all. So everything has a basis and everything has a premise, and these relationships are no different. And I'll end and conclude here by sharing a bone-chilling narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This narration is found in Sahih Bukhari along with many other books of hadith like Sahih Muslim and most of the six books of hadith. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ حِينَ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. That when this verse was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, that warn your family, warn your tribe, warn the people that are closest to you. The Prophet ﷺ stood up amongst his people, his family, his tribe. And he said, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, ishtaru anfusakum. O people of Quraysh, save your own soul. La ughni ankum min Allahi shay'a. Because I can't help you when you have to stand in front of God and you have to answer Allah. Ya Bani Manaf. He's speaking to his tribe, larger tribe. Oh, children of Manaf. Those are like Manaf is one of his ancestors. La ughni ankum min Allahi shay'a. I can't help you when you have to answer Allah. You have to answer Allah for yourself. Ya Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib. His uncle, Abbas, was a Muslim. He's even saying to his uncle, oh my dear uncle, لا أغني عنك من الله شيئا. I can't help you when you have to answer Allah. Ya Safiya ammata Rasul Allah. Oh Safiya, my aunt, I can't help you when you have to answer Allah. And then he said the most powerful thing. He said, Ya Fatimatu bintu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my dear Fatima, there was no human being on this earth that meant more to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than his Fatima. He said, my Fatima, who he said once, bud'atun minni, she's like a piece of my heart. When she feels pain, I feel it. He said, but oh my Fatima, salini ma shi'ti min mali. Ask me for everything of this world. I will give it to you. Ask me everything I own. I will empty out my pockets and I will give you everything I own. But on the day of judgment, la ughni anki min Allahi shay'a. On the day of judgment, I can't answer for you. You have to answer Allah for yourself on the day of judgment. It's very important that these relationships are very, very important and we invest in them. But we can't invest in them at the expense of our relationship with Allah. We need to invest in them by investing in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what will bring us and our loved ones salvation. وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّتِهِمْ. Right? That those people who invested in their relationship with Allah, they will be in paradise and they will be reunited in paradise with their loved ones because they all focused on their relationship with Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the guidance and the tawfiq and the ability to invest in our relationship with Allah. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.